God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton about the storms of our life. The Encouraging Word. This is The Encouraging Word, and Dr. Don Wilton is a well-known author, evangelist, seminary professor, and pastor. And today, as he completes the message, When God Speaks, Before, During, and After the Storm, we'll gain fresh insight from God's Word, particularly from Matthew chapter 8, about how God is ready to carry us through. Know that we'd love to encourage you as well. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Happy to pray with you 24 hours a day. But we're also connecting on our website, tewonline.org. You'll find many resources that will empower you in God's Word and give you a boldness like never before. Again, the details are on our website, tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
God sustains us. If God loves us, He sustains us. That's what parents do, grandparents do. We know about that. We love our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren, right? And what produces, what's the product of that love? It is the ability to care for. Caring is the action of love. And when God sustains us, He nourishes us. He lifts us up. He embraces us. All right, now watch. Here when Jesus Christ had this encounter with the disciples, we're going to be encouraged to note a couple of things that I want to point out to you today. Before, during, and after the storm. Listen to God speak. Number one, you will be encouraged to note, number one, that Jesus climbed aboard before the storm. I'd be honest, I don't know that I had fully taken cognizance of that in that initial verse there in verse 23, but Jesus got on board the boat before the storm. Did you know, by the way, that Jesus Christ is already on board before you even began to go through what you are going through? And I'm going to take that even further. You may not even be going through it, but Jesus Christ has already positioned Himself. He's on board. Now, by the way, this begs a deep theological discussion here, because it's at this juncture that we come to a fresh understanding of what it means that Christ lives in me. I am in Christ and He is in me. He is on board my boat. But number two, you'll be encouraged to note that the disciples, the men, followed without discussion. Now, this is rather interesting here in verse 23. Because in this particular context, there was no discussion associated with the obedience of the disciples. Now, in this particular context, once again, we are reminded of one of the fundamental principles of the cost of following Jesus Christ. Here it is: unapologetic obedience and fellowship. Now, may I say something to all of us with a lot of love in our hearts? And I think you'll know that I'm saying it to myself more than anybody else. But sometimes, I think we just ask too many questions. I think I ask God too many questions. I think there are too many times in my life that as I journey through life, I am demanding of God why this, why that, where this, and what that. And Jesus just simply says to me, excuse me, are you going to get on board or are you not? This kind of absolute obedience, it's something that we struggle with because we are curious people. We like to have everything lined up. We are logical. We want to make sense out of everything. We want to know that A plus B equals C. Whilst God is a God of order, God is also a God who demands absolute and unapologetic obedience. Just get on board. Number three, I want you to note something here, that the storm came up without warning. Many years ago, I went fishing with my father-in-law. He loves to fish and so do I. But I remember this particular event because we went fishing on a pretty significant river in Africa. And it curves like this, and most incredible fish in this river, and we'd caught many fish there over the years from time to time. Right down in this coastal regions as it came down from the interior of the country, and called the Swartkops River, literally the Blackhead River, Swartkops. And we went out in this tiny little boat with a tiny little outboard motor, and there were just the two of us, and it was a pretty fair dinkum day, and we found ourselves right out in the middle of this river having a great time together, catching fish, and boom, all of a sudden a storm came up. That particular area is known for that. The wind can howl a gale. The storm was so bad that you could hardly see your hand in front of your face. My father-in-law and I talk about this all the time, one of our great memories of life. Problem was, when the storm came up, the water was coming into the boat and we were beginning to sink. Make matters worse, he tried to crank that little outboard motor and it cut out. It wouldn't run. We were dead in the water. I can still see my father-in-law with a bucket on his hands and knees in this boat trying to bail water out. He ordered me to the front of the boat. I stood there with a rope and an anchor, swinging this thing and throwing it as far as I could, letting it sink down with all the waves doing this and holding on for dear life. And then I'd pull us a little bit, and inch by inch by inch, we just followed our nose. And needless to say, I'm here to tell the story today. We made it. But you know, storms of life are just like that. You can go to bed one minute and wake up the next minute and the whole life has changed. Folks, the storms of life come up awfully quickly. Make every moment count. Don't leave home without telling your wife that you love her. Don't just let your children just vanish. Pick up the phone. Young people who are at college, don't go to college and just sign off. Call your mom and dad. Take time out. Discipline yourself, because the storms of life can come up without warnings. But I want you to note in the fourth place that the waves swept over the entire boat. Most of us are inclined to say, well, I promise you this, whatever it is that's going to happen is going to come in drips and drabs. You know better than that, and so do I. Most of the storms of life that occur in the lives of believers come in massive doses. They devastate our lives. They change our direction. They sink our ship. In this particular case, the Bible says here in verse 24 that the waves pounded and swept over the entire boat. But I want you to be encouraged by something, because in the fifth place, we note that the Son of Man was fast asleep. Now that's a nice how do you do. I can't believe that. Here in the middle of all of this, Jesus was asleep as the Son of Man. Let me give you point number six, and I'm going to marry these two together so we can really understand what's going on. Number six, I want you to be encouraged by the fact that the Son of God was wide awake. Now, who was Jesus, the Son of Man? Bible says that Jesus became man, that he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. That's the dividing line. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world, identified with us in all points of our human frailty and of our weakness. why was Jesus, the Son of Man, asleep? I think perhaps because he was worn out. Most of the instances in the scriptures when Jesus got on board a boat, he gathered those who were around him who were designed to protect him, those who were closest to him, and he said, listen, I've just got to withdraw from the crowds a little bit. I got to stop talking. My voice is hurting. I'll guarantee you, Peter got him up there all the time to sing in front of the crowd. He said, listen, I've got to just take a break. Jesus withdrew. He went to the other side. Well, there are all kinds of reasons. But I think fundamentally what Jesus was doing at this juncture is he was putting them to the test concerning, number one, his sonship as the Son of Man, as opposed to his sonship as the Son of the Living God. He was teaching them a lesson.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with more of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton. But if you haven't been by our website lately, you might have missed out on one remarkable free resource that can make a tremendous difference in your day-to-day life. It's the Daily Devotion from Dr. Don Wilton, receivable in a number of ways. You can get it by email just by signing up today at tewonline.org. Just click the Sign Up for Devotion at the base of our main page, tewonline.org. But you can also call for a physical copy. We send it out quarterly, and we'd be happy to give you a free copy if you call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Just ask for your free daily encouraging word, and we'd love to send it to you. Right now, let's dive back into today's teaching, When God Speaks, Before, During, and After the Storm, with Dr. Don Wilton.
He was teaching them a lesson at the point of identification with the storms of life, but at the same time juxtaposing that unbelievable truth that God Himself can never go to sleep. Did you know, by the way, that God cannot sleep? By the way, what is sleep? Why did God give us sleep? Well, there are a lot of reasons, and I'm not going to get into all those today, but amongst many others, just to give us rest. Does God need a rest? Does God need to take a time out? Does God need to take the day off? Does God need to get away from the crowds? Absolutely not, because of who He is. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's God. He's Creator. He's the one who rules this mighty universe, and yet He's so small that He dwells within our hearts and within our lives. The Son of Man laid down His head to sleep, but the Son of God was wide awake. Be encouraged in your heart. Number seven, that the men came to Him. Note that the men came to Him. Why was Jesus asleep? You know, folks, I've thought about this a lot, trying to figure out why Jesus would have gone to sleep at such an incredible time. I think above all else, it was to test them at the point of their own faith, to demand of them that they put their faith into action. Because the Bible says that faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead, folks. Now, we struggle to understand that. Jesus was questioning them at the point of their faith. Faith is not just simply accepting and acquiescing. Faith is accepting and doing. It is hearing the Word of God and doing it. It is the translation of what we know to be true put into practical action. I believe that Jesus Christ demanded of them that they come to Him and that they plead with Him. I believe that Jesus Christ demands that we tell Him that we love Him. Now, we've established these principles. God is, God knows, God loves, God cares. Let's take the third one, God loves. Well, I know that God loves. God so loved me that he gave Jesus to die for me. But God still demands that I tell him that I love him. I want you to think for just a moment that we have a wedding ceremony here in our church. Here we are, it's a beautiful wedding. The groom and the bride and their flowers and very pretty, everything's decked out. We've got the parents on both sides, all the grandparents, the church is packed out. And just before I announce that they are husband and wife, I stop the proceeding and I say to the groom, I say, young man, been a beautiful wedding. Do you have anything that you'd like to say to your bride-to-be? Now, can you imagine that groom turning to his bride, taking her by the hand, saying, honey, sweetie pie, I want you to know that I love you with all of my heart. But I'm going to tell you this just one time. Now, stick with me, folks. I want you to get this. Now, I'm praying we're going to be married and live together for the next 70 years, but I'm going to tell you this one time. You got this, girl? All right, are you ready? Get out your notebook. Write it down in the back of your Bible if you want to. I'm going to tell you one time. You ready for this? I love you, sugar lumps. You got it? All right, preacher, pronounce us husband and wife. I got a feeling, folks, I won't get to make a pronouncement. Something's wrong. Why did Jesus go to sleep as the Son of Man? Because as the Son of Man, he identified with our inability to respond to the Son of God the way God demands us to respond. God telling us to be very careful, even in the midst of our storms of life. I'm going to show you something here, folks. Number 8. You're going to be encouraged to note that Jesus proved his point before he provided his solution. Jesus proved his point before he provided his solution. It's very interesting here. Watch this. That the Lord Jesus, in the midst of the storm, woke up. Here's what he didn't do. We always preach about and talk about what he did do. Did you notice what Jesus didn't do? Jesus didn't wake up and go, oh, I'm so sorry, I've been asleep. How could I? So, gentlemen, listen, don't worry, I'm here. Guys, listen, okay, you sit there, strap yourself in, put this on, make sure you've got your life jacket on. Listen, I've got everything in control. Thank you for waking me up. Peace, be still. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't say, all right, now, okay, is everybody okay? Okay, everything is peace be still. Look, it's calm again, guys. Don't worry about it. Anyone need a Tylenol? Seasick tablet? Everybody okay? Can I help you? How about a drink of water, Peter? You'll feel much better after this. Okay, all raise your hands. You all feeling better? All the fear gone? Everything okay? Yes, Lord, it's okay. All right, good, good, good. All right, let's get on back there over there to the wharf where we can be safe again. Now that we're back at the wharf and everything's tied up and nobody's going to drown, gentlemen, just before we go home, sit down. I'd like to tell you a few things about what's just happened. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus stood up in the midst of the storm. The waves were sweeping across the boat. And he pointed them and he said, gentlemen, I'm going to lay the smack down on you. Lord, we're drowning. All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Point number 1. Why are you so afraid? Point number 2. Lord, we're drowning. Lord, listen, you just goggle your way as much as you want to. Goggle and listen at the same time. Drown while you're listening. But I'm going to tell you something before I do what I need to do. Jesus proved his point before he provided his solution. Why did Jesus do this? Because he knew man. I don't know how many times I've seen people walk down the aisle of this church and say, I want to tell you, preacher, I've got this going on and that going on, and if God will hear my prayer, I tell you, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And God does something in their life, and then God doesn't smell them for dust. I don't know how many a hospital room I've stood in where I've prayed with people who have said, if God will just get me out of this bed, if He'll just heal me, I'm telling you, I'm going to be faithful in this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And God raises them up from their beds of sickness, and you never see them again. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, if God would just give me $1 million, man, I'll tithe to the church, I'll support this missionary, I'm going to live for the Lord. Lord, just give me more money. The more you give me, the more I'm going to do. And God looks into the heart of man and says, show me what you're willing to do with what I've given you before I show you what I'm willing to give you with that which I will trust you to give. You know one of the reasons God doesn't give to some people? He can't trust you. Folks, He gave them right there in that boat a lesson they'll never forget while those winds were still sweeping across them. But note number 9, the great blessing was received by all. I love that, don't you? So here's the lesson. What can we learn from this? What does God teach us? 5 things. Number 1, this is what the Lord's taught me. Number 1, know that God knows. Number 2, storms can come up suddenly. Number 3, Christians are not exempt from storms, contrary to public opinion. Number 4, have faith in God. And number 5, make certain that you're in the boat. Folks, when catastrophes happen in America, everybody runs to God, but the problem is that not everyone is in the boat. Are you in the boat?
The good news is there is room for you in the boat. I pray that as you've heard Dr. Wilton teaching and preaching today, you've heard more than just his unique South African brogue. You've heard more than just his insight, but you've heard the voice of God through this servant of God, Dr. Wilton. More importantly, by the power of the Word of God, to know that God loves you, He has a plan for you, and He is using even this broadcast to let you know how much He loves you, and it's time to make a choice. You've been listening to Dr. Don as he's been teaching and preaching. Now as he comes into the studio just to share from his heart, I pray you would open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Perhaps moments ago you were praying along with Dr. Wilton to give your life to Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you know that it's time to do it right now. We'd love to speak with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. We'd love to answer questions perhaps that the Lord has stirred in your heart, but we'd also love to, for those of you that have given your life to Jesus Christ or rededicated your life to Christ, we'd love to come alongside you with free resources that will help you grow. Again, the number is 866-899-9673. If you've given your life to Christ today or rededicated your life, We want you to have these resources that will help you literally bloom where you are planted and do so in a way that takes your roots deep down and allows you to stretch out your branches to bear much fruit for Jesus Christ. The number again is 866-899-9673, or meet us on our website, tewonline.org, where you'll find great resources like this.
Hello, everybody. You know, my friends know me as Don Wilton, pastor, friend, neighbor, dad, husband, grandpa. But I'm going to tell you, people all around the world just like you know and identify Dr. Billy Graham as that man that God used to reach so many people around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of knowing Mr. Graham in a very personal and intimate way, both as his friend and as his pastor. In fact, for many years, I drove up to his home in Montreat, North Carolina, and visited with him every Saturday. Just like friends do everywhere, we sat together and ate together, walked, talked. We discussed politics, friends, places, people. We laughed our heads off. We did everything one could possibly imagine. That's why I wrote this wonderful book, Saturdays with Billy. It's all about a personal relationship. And I hope and pray that Saturdays with Billy will be a blessing to you, will inspire you, and will encourage your heart, just as Mr. Graham encouraged my heart and changed my life. God bless you, my friends.
Now, that's just one of many great resources on our website, tewonline.org. While you're there, be sure and sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. It's absolutely free. Again, it's on our website, tewonline.org. And before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on his throne. This is the encouraging word. And now you know why.
Our time's gone for today, but tomorrow we begin a two-part series called Growing Together in Faith. We'll be headed to the book of Acts, and I hope you'll not only join us, but bring a friend. Between now and then, we can stay connected on our website at tewonline.org. And thank you again for the many of you who financially and prayerfully support this ministry every single day. Lives are being changed, and you're investing in that. If you'd like more information on how to do so, you'll find it on our website, tewonline.org.